Hi, everyone. This is Mark Mavsesian. I'm the director of the Center for Law and Religion here at St. John's Law. Welcome to another episode in our Legal Spirits podcast series. I'm joined by my colleague, Mark DiGirolami. This podcast series explores various issues in church-state law, both in the United States and abroad. We also have a blog called the Law and Religion Forum. You can follow us there, Law and Religion Forum. That's one word, .org. And if you go to the blog, you can see not only our archived podcasts, but also you can see our Twitter feed and our Facebook feed, and you can follow us on social media as well. Okay, well, today, Mark and I are going to discuss a cert petition that has just been granted by the U.S. Supreme Court in a case called American Legion versus American Humanist Association. And this is an Establishment Clause case, and it looks like it could be a very significant case because it seems like the court might have taken the case to clarify what test applies in the context of a public display with a religious symbol. It looks like the court could use this case as an opportunity to clarify what the test is in this area and put an end to the confusion in the lower courts. So, Mark, welcome. Let's talk about the facts of the case.
Okay, great. The facts are these. In 1918, 100 years ago, a group of citizens in Prince George's County in Maryland began to raise money for the construction of a Latin cross to honor 49 World War I soldiers who are from Prince George's County. This is Prince George's County in Maryland. The donors signed a pledge stating that they, quote, trusting in God, the supreme ruler of the universe, close quote, pledged their faith in the 49 war dead whose spirits guided them, quote, through life in the way of godliness, justice, and liberty, close quote.
We should just say that Prince George's County is a suburb of Washington, D.C., right outside Washington.
Right, and that will actually become important with respect to some of the other issues that are raised by the parties in a later part of the case. But at any rate, this was a project whose initial purpose was to memorialize the war dead of the county. But as it happened, the group did not raise enough money to build the cross, and so ultimately it abandoned the project, but it was picked up by a local chapter of the American Legion, which, for those who might not know, is a congressionally chartered veteran service organization founded in 1919. And the American Legion completed the project in 1925. Now, the American Legion is not explicitly Christian, at least not today, though even on its website, and in fact, I checked, I went online to see this, it does contain references to, quote, God and country. But at the time, in the earlier 20th century, it relied on Christian chaplains to lead Christian prayer services at the dedication ceremony for the monument. And over the years, there were other memorial services on behalf of the veterans at the cross. And while it isn't clear what the religious nature of those services was, in fact, there's a factual dispute about this, it seems reasonable to assume that they were Christian in character.
Although, as far as I can tell from at least the Fourth Circuit opinion in this case, there really have been only two documented incidents of actual religious services at the cross.
Yeah, that's true.
In 90 years.
Correct. And in fact, in the cert petition that we'll talk about, the American Legion says that while there were many civil services to honor the dead over the years, there's only evidence that there was one religious event ever planned at the memorial, and that was back in 1931. And in fact, though it was planned, that event never actually happened. So anyways, this is a factual issue that will have to be worked out. But the cross itself, let's talk a little bit about the physical quality of the cross.
It's 40 foot high, right?
That, too, is a matter of some factual dispute. So the opinion for the court says it stands 40 feet. Petitioners in their petition say it stands 32 feet. Now, it might be that there's a difference between exactly how high the cross is as opposed to the cross plus the pedestal. At any rate, there's a factual dispute on that matter as well. So it stands somewhere between 32 and 40 feet in height. It stands on a median at the intersection of Maryland Route 450 and U.S. Route 1. So over a three-lane highway, right in the middle of the highway, and it displays the American Legion symbol in the middle of the cross on both faces. Now, there's also a plaque on the cross that lists the 49 residents that died in World War I, and it says, quote, "This memorial cross, dedicated to the heroes of Prince George's County, Maryland, who lost their lives in the Great War for the liberty of the world," close quote, together with a line by Woodrow Wilson. And then at the base of the cross, on each face of the cross, are the words, "Valor, endurance, courage, and devotion." So that's what the cross looks like. Now, after its completion in 1925, Other monuments honoring veterans were built near the memorial. The whole area is now known as Veterans Memorial Park. And by the way, I should add, the reason that we're going into such excruciating detail with respect to the look of the cross and the monument in general, the sort of physical look of all of this, is that it matters a lot to the court. These details matter. At any rate, these other monuments include a War of 1812 memorial, a World War II memorial, a Korean and Vietnam War Veterans Memorial, a September 11th Garden and Memorial Walkway, and there are others as well. Now, the closest of these other memorials is 200 feet away from the cross. In fact, the petitioners say, look, it can't be very much closer because, of course, the cross sits on an island and on the highway. And the tallest of those other memorials, according to the court, to the Fourth Circuit, is 10 feet tall. But as it happens, there's a factual dispute about this also.
So I'm beginning to wonder why the court took this case with all these factual disputes.
It's kind of a mess. So the American Legion says that some of the monuments, the other monuments, are as tall as the cross. Some of them are shorter than the cross, but wider than the cross. Some of them are smaller. So there's a question here. It may be that the Supreme Court was just so interested in taking up one of these cases and so upset about what the Fourth Circuit had done that it was just going to take this case no matter what. At any rate, there are factual disputes here too. Okay. Now, the final piece of the story is in 1961, a Maryland State Planning Commission obtains title to the cross and the land that the cross sits on in order to maintain the cross for reasons of safety in the middle of this busy traffic median. And since 1961, the commission has spent about $117,000 to maintain and repair the cross. Actually, when you consider how long a time that is, it's a fairly small amount of money. But at any rate, it is $117,000. It has set aside another $100,000 for renovation. So that's the context and the history of the cross monument. Plaintiffs here are several residents of Prince George's County, whom the Fourth Circuit opinion tells us are quote-unquote non-Christians, and see the cross whenever they drive on the highway. That
Can
is, they
I
see it.
Just a second.
Sure.
So you've given us excruciating detail. I know it's not your
fault.
I'm
sorry.
I know it's not your fault. It's the court's fault. You have much more patience for these things. But one thing I wanted to point out is that, so all the details you've given us, of course, this is in the middle of a busy traffic median. And so one point is, as you whiz by this 32 or 40 foot high cross, you might not see any of these things like the plaques and the American Legion logo and so on, right?
I think that's true. In fact, that's one of the things that the Fourth Circuit says in its opinion, that most people, unless they actually park somewhere and go and enjoy the memorial park, don't see any of these other things. They don't see the language on the cross. The plaque to the veterans is kind of faded, and it's only facing on one side. So the reality is that for most people traveling on the highway, they're just going to see the somewhere between 32 and 40 foot cross.
Right, which I have to say, well, unfortunately, we can't do pictures on a podcast, but when I look at this cross anyway, if you look at just the picture of it, maybe we should put it up on the blog for people to see.
Yeah, it might be helpful.
It does look like just a war memorial cross, the kind of things you see at Arlington National Cemetery and everywhere else. It does have that look.
Okay, so let's get into what the Fourth Circuit did here. In a 2-1 panel decision written by Judge Stephanie Thacker and joined by Judge James Wynn, the court decided first that the plaintiffs here had standing to bring this Establishment Clause claim, and then secondly, that the cross monument violates the Establishment Clause.
Yeah, so, under what test? What test did they use, Mark?
Well, so just before that, just on the issue of standing quickly, only because I think that that might be, it's an outside shot, but it might be the direction that the Supreme Court goes. The majority in dissent actually agreed that the individual claimants, as well as the American Humanist Association, had standing, because the standing rules say any unwelcome direct contact that appears to be endorsed by the state is sufficient injury. So that's just on the preliminary of justiciability and standing. Now, on the question of the merits, there's a real issue about which test applies. The Supreme Court has expressed some criticisms about some of the applicable tests, like the Lemon test and so on, that is used in the past.
So what's the Lemon test?
The Lemon test is a test that requires the court to basically apply three different elements to any challenge regarding the Establishment Clause. They have to ask whether what the state has done has a secular purpose. That's number one. Second, whether what the state has done, whether the primary effect of what it has done is either to sponsor or to denigrate religion. And number three, whether what the state has done somehow excessively entangles the state with respect to religion.
Okay, that's one test. And as I read the Fourth Circuit opinion, they said, well, that's one test that might apply here, but they also talk about another case called Van Orden versus Perry.
Yes, they do talk about that case. In fact, one of the claimants, I think the American Legion in the Fourth Circuit case, said it's Van Orden that applies, and more specifically, it's Justice Breyer's opinion making a 5-4 majority in Van Orden versus Perry that applies. And that test really focuses more on reasoned judgment and whether a reasonable observer would perceive endorsement of the test and other historical specifics with respect to the test.
Right. So Van Orden involved a Ten Commandments monument on the Texas State Capitol grounds, and the court in the Van Orden case said that that public religious display was permissible, with Justice Breyer giving the deciding vote and saying that, well, look, there really is no, I love this line, there is no test-based substitute for reasoned legal judgment. And Justice Breyer said, as far as he was concerned, the Texas display of the Ten Commandments was constitutionally permissible, in large part because the monument had stood there for 40 years and no one had objected, which suggested that people really didn't see that as an endorsement of religion.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the Fourth Circuit here, and I think justifiably in my view, applies both Lemon and Van Orden. So they try to kind of combine these two approaches. There's an argument to be made that Van Orden, the Van Orden-Breyer approach, is kind of a gloss or a spin on the second component of the Lemon test, that is to say, the issue of primary effect or principal effect. At any rate, the Fourth Circuit here continued to apply Lemon's three-part test. It said with respect to secular purpose that there was a secular purpose here for this monument. The state took possession of the cross to ensure that it was safe for traffic purposes, and it preserves the monument in order to honor the World War I soldiers of the county. So that element was satisfied, but the other two, according to the court, were not. The court said that this fails the second part of the test, the element of primary effect of advancing religion. And here, as I say, I think the court applied what's come to be known as the endorsement test, which I agree with is a little bit different than the test that was applied by Justice Breyer in his concurrence in Van Orden. It's very difficult to parse exactly what it is that Justice Breyer was doing. It's like maybe a variation on the endorsement test. But at any rate, the majority said, in answer to the question, does this have the primary effect of endorsing religion? The majority said yes. And why? Really for four reasons. Reason number one, the majority says the meaning of the Latin cross is preeminently a symbol of Christianity. So that's number one. Even if there are other meanings like a symbol of death and memorialization, the cross, the Latin cross, only has that meaning because of its association with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So to the extent that the meaning of the cross memorializes death, it's a Christian symbol of death, which is why, said the court, crosses on World War I fields are individual rather than universal. So that's one kind of explanation. The majority goes on to say, look, it's really the poppy rather than the cross that's the universal symbol commemorating World War I. It cites in a footnote to the 1918 poem In Flanders Fields by John McCrae to prove this point. And interestingly, the actual lines of the poem seem to do a little damage to the court's poetic reference, in as much as there are crosses specifically mentioned in the poem as well.
Between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place.
But there you go, straight from the horse's mouth. So that's the first point on endorsement. The second is the particular history of this cross. Now, what does the court say there? It says, look, that point doesn't clearly support one party or the other. And in fact, rather oddly, the majority says that here the length of time that the cross has stood, 90 years and actually 100 years since it was first conceived, works against the cross because the longer the violation exists, the greater affront to those who are offended.
Right, and that seems totally inconsistent with Justice Breyer's point in Van Orden that the fact that the Texas Ten Commandments display had had been up for 40 years without any objection indicated that it wasn't constitutionally problematic and hadn't offended anybody.
Yeah, that seemed to me to be a point that, I mean, it might be true, right? In other words, the sort of combination of length of time and psychological effect that Justice Breyer was speculating about may or may not be accurate, but it certainly seems to be inconsistent with Breyer's own view. Okay, so that's the second point. The third point concerns the other secular elements. You know, what about those, the other memorials? Court says, not good enough. The, quote, sectarian elements easily overwhelm the secular ones, close quote. Now the court says, the cross is really tall, while the others are not so tall, and the other monuments are at a distance of 200 feet, at least, from the cross. So all of that isn't enough to kind of neutralize or defang the objectionable features of the Latin cross. Fourth point is about the history of the cross and what a reasonable observer would know, that this cross was generated by people with Christian commitments that swore devotion to God, and so a reasonable observer with a reasonable memory, which is one of the lines that Justice Souter uses in his McCreary opinion, opinion, the McCreary opinion, would know about that. They would know that the cross is a Christian symbol. And then the court addresses an objection here about, well, what about other crosses? What is the status now of crosses in Arlington National Cemetery if this cross gets struck down? You know, the court was very careful here, I think. It was careful to note that, well, yes, technically this case has no implications for Arlington National Cemetery. But please note, it said in a footnote, we are not offering any opinion about those crosses in this opinion. So that's the issue with respect to the second component of Lemon. As to the third
entanglement
element of Lemon, excessive entanglement, the court says that's also violated by this cross because of the amount of money that the county had spent to maintain and renovate the cross. $117,000 over whatever it is, 56 years, with an additional $100,000 set aside. So that's the majority opinion. There was a dissent by Judge Gregory that disagreed with the majority on the merits. But I think rather than talking about that, maybe we can chat about the cert petition.
Okay, so that's been a really exhaustive description of what happened in this case. But there's now been a cert petition, and the court has granted cert. And interestingly, what I'd like to focus on is one of the questions that's been presented is, well, what should the test be in this situation? Should it be the Lemon test? Should it be the Van Orden test, which I guess would be Justice Breyer's concurring opinion in Van Orden? Or should it be a third test, which comes from a case called Town of Greece?
Yeah, no, and I think part of the cert petition itself appeals to the Supreme Court to clarify its Establishment Clause doctrine, which it calls confusing and inconsistent.
Which it kind of is, right, Mark? I mean, you can look at this, that we both teach this in our classes, and the Establishment Clause is really a mess in this area.
It is a mess, and it is confusing. It's certainly confusing to our students. It's confusing to me, and I imagine it's confusing to lower courts. And in fact, the brief mentions this. It says some courts, like the Fourth Circuit, apply Lemon. Some, like the Eighth and Ninth Circuits, have a Lemon carve-out for passive displays. They go with the Van Orden approach for those kinds of displays. The circuits apply the reasonable observer test in different ways. Somebody who knows more than the ordinary person, or somebody who knows what the ordinary person knows. Some circuits say that routine expenditures for maintenance are okay. Some, like the Fourth Circuit, say they aren't okay. And so there is a kind of request, an appeal, plea for the court to clarify what it's doing.
That's exactly right. There is a mess here. And one reason there's a mess is that notwithstanding the fact that the Supreme Court has stuck with the Lemon test now for something like 40 years or longer, nonetheless, people understand that there's something very unpredictable about the Lemon test. And one thing that makes it so unpredictable is this idea of endorsement, which actually comes from Justice O'Connor's gloss on the Lemon test. We say, well, it's a violation of the Establishment Clause if a reasonable observer would think that the state action is endorsing a particular religion. And I guess I have a couple of questions about that, Mark. One is, well, how do we really know whether a religious symbol is an endorsement of religion or not, given the fact that symbols can bear all kinds of meanings? So for sure, a Latin cross is a symbol of Christianity, no way around that. on the other hand, I said earlier in the podcast, if you look at a picture of this cross, it does look like all the crosses at war memorials. And somebody could easily look at this and say, okay, I know what this is. This is a war memorial. So it could really be both.
Yeah, I think that's true. And in fact, it's a little odd to see the court saying, no, 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 this is in either direction. No, 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 this is just a civic memorial. Or, no, 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 this is just a symbol of Christianity. Of course, at the time, certainly, that the cross was built, it was both things. And at the time, that was not thought to be problematic. It's only thought to be problematic now, after the years that have transpired in between, and the changing sort of cultural understandings about what crosses are all about. Right. The sense from some people that they don't like the cross, they're offended by the cross. Even those who may have been offended by the cross in the past would never think to bring a constitutional claim like this. But I think you're right that there's a kind of subjectivity in the reasonable observer tests that has come through in the different ways that the circuits have addressed some of these cases. So just as an example, the petition, the cert petition says, look, the Fourth Circuit's approach, it's inconsistent with several other circuit opinions involving crosses. The Ground Zero cross in New York in a Second Circuit case. A cross on the seal of the city of Austin in a Fifth Circuit case. A similar challenge to the seal of Las Cruces, New Mexico. The crosses. So these are all civic crosses, but they're obviously all civic crosses with religious message, and it's very difficult to disentangle the civic and religious meanings, and it was never intended for those to be disentangled.
Okay, so this actually highlights the second problem with the endorsement test. One problem is that it's so vague and unpredictable. The other is, if we really took it seriously, we'd have to start taking down lots of public monuments that have been erected in this country for centuries.
Including the large 24-foot cross in Arlington National Cemetery. Now, you know, can it really be that 8 feet makes all the difference, right? That it's really the size of the cross in this case, whether it's 32 feet or 40 feet, and that cross is 24 feet. Well, that's a smaller cross. And so, or it's not a cross that is truly purporting to memorialize all the war dead because it's smaller or surrounded by other symbols that are also memorializing the war dead. Very, very difficult to apply these kinds of tests. And I think the cert petition does a good job of saying, look, if you uphold this decision, then you're going to have a lot of other crosses torn down or defaced. In fact, there was a suggestion in the oral argument on the Fourth Circuit case by Judge Thacker that, well, perhaps you might just lop off the sides of the arms of the cross, and that would solve the problem. You just have a giant beam in the middle of the highway, and that would be good enough.
Okay, so all these problems with the endorsement test, and of course we should say there are people who defend the endorsement test too and say it's necessary in a pluralistic society, but all these problems with the endorsement test suggest that the court might use this opportunity to say that it doesn't apply anymore, or it doesn't apply anymore in the context of public displays. And the petitioners, the American Legion, suggest maybe looking to another test, this test that comes from a case called Town of Greece versus Galloway. What's all that about?
Yeah, so that test was a test applied fairly specifically and uniquely in the context of legislative prayer. And what the court said there was that because the practice of legislative prayer was one which had been engaged in before, during, and after ratification of the Establishment Clause, indeed by the very Congress that had passed the Establishment Clause, that there's simply no way that that particular practice, again, based on its history and tradition and on its consistency of usage throughout this relevant period, could be said to violate the Establishment Clause.
So looking to history and tradition, and that would suggest many of these monuments, including this World War I memorial, would be constitutional.
I would think so. Another possibility is that the court goes with something like a coercion test. And under that kind of test, it seems to me that unless you have some very unusual facts of the kind that really aren't present here, most of these monuments survive constitutional scrutiny. Usually when you have coercion, there's an issue of legal compulsion. Here, there's no evidence that anybody was required to do anything by law other than, I suppose, drive down the highway, but you're not required to do that by law.
Right. And so, you know, that's a nice point, Mark, which is even if this is understood properly as an endorsement of religion, Well, the Establishment Clause might not prevent the endorsement of religion. It might be directed at something else, like proselytizing or like coercion. So there's a whole other avenue that's open here for the court if the court wants to go down.
I think that's true. Just one other thing to mention, one possible, perhaps slightly narrower way for the court to get at this issue is through amplifying standing doctrine. So it might say, look, whatever the case for, this would be a way for it to preserve some of its previous decisions, like Van Orden and McCreary, where you had people who had to walk or were walking directly in front of the cross. Here the court might say, it's just a possibility, but it might say, driving down a highway in common with hundreds of thousands of other people that drive down a highway and seeing something that offends you is not adequate to get standing. So that would be the kind of holding that would apply for this case only. It would be the kind of holding that somebody who is inclined toward minimalism, like Chief Justice Roberts, might perhaps be attracted to.
Okay, although that's not in the cert petition. That would be something the court would have to raise on its own.
That's correct.
Which they could. All right, well, thanks very much, Mark. So I think we'll wrap it up there. The case has not yet been set for argument, but we'll certainly be back in touch after argument to tell you how that went. Meanwhile, again, this is Mark Movsesian with my colleague Mark DiGirolami from the Center for Law and Religion. Please follow us on our webpage, lawandreligionforum.org, where you can get all our archived podcasts, and you can also have links to follow us on social media. Okay, thanks very much. Until next time.